To start off the message today, I want to take an opinion survey of the congregation. And I just want you to answer forthrightly. It's yes or no. There are no trick questions and there's no hidden meanings. So I'm going to ask you to simply raise your hand if you agree with the statement that I make. So the first statement is, I like laughter better than crying. All right? I like weddings better than funerals. Many people agree with that. I like to think of my birthday better than my dying day. We all like to think that. I like the shortcut better than the long way around. And the final one, I like the good old days better than the way things are now. All right, well, congratulations. We have all unanimously flunked Solomon's test. You see, in chapter 7, Solomon is going to teach us some things that are very unusual. He's going to teach us when bad is better. But remember, Solomon has spent his life and his wealth seeking happiness, meaning, and fulfillment. And he's reigned for 40 years. There were no wars, there were no famines, and so he's been totally absorbed in this pursuit of happiness and finding out what makes people happy. And Solomon is going to tell us why some of the bad things are better than good things. And it's going to take some things that are bad or awful and show us how they can be good and helpful to us. Solomon will show us that adversity has an advantage and that difficulties develop us in ways that nothing else can. And once again, Solomon is going to goad us. He's going to goad us into thinking beyond the conventional way of thinking. And he's going to show us life as it really is, not as we wish it would be. And Solomon wrote 8 times throughout the book of Ecclesiastes that we should enjoy life because life is short and unpredictable. We should enjoy it to the fullest and remember that it's a gift from God. But he's also going to show us how some of the bad things can also be a gift from God. And we'll start with chapter 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious perfume, and the day of death than the day of birth. Now, he's talking about our name, and he's comparing our name to a precious perfume. Keep in mind that in Hebrew language, that the name or the word name is in Hebrew, Shem. And the word for perfume in Hebrew is shemem. And so it's a play on words. And there are 2 days of our life where our name is on everybody's lips. And that's the day of our birth and the day of our death. And what happens between those days determines whether or not your name is going to be a fragrant perfume or a foul stench. And Solomon is saying that if you die with a good name, then you can no longer do anything to tarnish your name. But the day of birth, well, we have a whole lifetime ahead of us to tarnish our name. And if you have a good name on the day of your death, then your dying day is indeed better than the day of your birth. And he's saying that looking back on a life well lived is better than looking back on a life that was unlived. The second piece of wisdom that Solomon teaches us, it's easier to learn from mourning than from feasting. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 2 through 4. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of everyone, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sadness of countenance the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Solomon is talking about the development of our character. And he's not suggesting that we should be gloomy and morbid all the time. No, what he's suggesting is that we need to take life seriously and not let it slip through our hands. And what he's telling us in those verses, it's easier to learn from adversity than it is from prosperity. And in verse 3 says, "For by a sad countenance the heart is made glad." Here's what that means. It means that wisdom is forged in the fire of mourning and adversity and trouble. Holiness of heart is refined in the fire of mourning, adversity, and trouble. And a strong character is forged in the fire of mourning, adversity, and trouble. But fools, in a very frivolous manner, are never learning from any of life's experience, because they want everything to be happy and light and to their liking. So why is sorrow better than laughter? Well, that's because a fool is not facing reality. And people will look at someone who's being foolish like this and say, well, they're not hurting anyone. They're just having a good time partying. They're really not hurting anyone. But you see, the things that a fool does, always seeking after laughter, always seeking after levity, those things are nothing more than an excuse to deaden the pain of an empty life. Very little, if anything, is going to be learned during times of prosperity. Sometimes God uses adversity and challenge to get our attention, because when we are so busy being happy, he can't get our attention and he can't get us to listen. And you see, man's second highest purpose is not to be happy, but rather it's to know God. And when it comes to knowing God, doctrine and theology may make an impression on us and can be helpful, but it takes trial and adversity to change us and cause us to seek out God's voice. And when you get to know God is when you face things that are too big for you to handle. And so in that sense, Solomon is telling us that sorrow is better than laughter, because it develops character and it brings us closer to God. Next, Solomon teaches us that rebuke is better than praise. And I'll read verses 5 and 6. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of fools. This also is vanity. When we are rebuked by someone for something we've done, we're prone to resist it, resent it, and return it. We don't take rebuke well. Solomon puts a new spin on this by saying that it's better to be rebuked by a wise man than to receive the praise from fools. And he uses the illustration of the praise of fools being like the crackling of thorns under a pot. Now, here's what that means. Thorns were used to start a fire quickly. And to get a fire hot very quickly, you use thorns. But the thorns will crackle and pop and release their heat. And so you use thorns to get a fire going, but you never use thorns to create a lasting fire. And likewise with the praise of fools, it crackles and pops and it warms us up, but then it dies out very quickly. But the rebuke of a wise person, that is very, very valuable. It's far better than the praise of a fool. So we've learned that crying is better than laughter. We've learned that rebuke is better than praise. And now we're going to see how the hard way is better than the easy way. And I'll be referring to verses 7 through 9. Surely oppression makes the wise foolish, and a bribe corrupts the heart. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning. The patient in spirit are better than the proud in spirit. Do not be quick to anger, for anger resides in the lap of fools. So bribery is a shortcut. You know, it's a shortcut to the goal that we want to reach. But this is where the problem comes in. We fail to ask ourselves, where will this action take me? You know, it may look like a shortcut that will take me to where I want to go, but is it really going to lead me there? You know, the thing to remember is that God always saves the best for last. So that we'll go through the hard way, doing things the hard way or doing things the right way, which takes longer. God always saves the best for last. Whereas Satan's plan, well, his plan front loads all the happiness and then it goes downhill from there. So today, we learn that taking the shortcut is not the best way. It is not, taking the shortcut is not God's way, but rather that's Satan's way. Because like I said, Satan front loads joy and happiness and then it's all downhill from there. Next, we're going to learn that today is better than yesterday. And many of you raised your hands when I said, made the statement that I like the way things were in the past better than they are now. Well, let me offer you a couple bits of wisdom here. There is no such thing as the good old days. If you go back to those so-called good old days and really think about the troubles that you faced, you'll see that they really aren't so good. For some reason, the human brain has an ability, and I believe it's a God-given ability, to block out bad memories, that we go through an event and we begin to forget the bad things and only remember the good things. Well, that's really a gift from God, because that means that we don't have to carry around all this sorrow, and we can remember the things that were good. You know, I've spent a large chunk of time over my 31 years in ministry listening to people talk about the good old days. And the most miserable people in the world pine away for the good old days, and they forget what struggle they really had. And it makes enjoying today impossible. And Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10 says it this way: "Do not say, 'Why were the former days better than these?' For it is not from wisdom that you ask this." What Solomon is saying, if you're going to find happiness, you have to look for it in today. Otherwise, you will be lost in the past and pine away for that. So we've learned some things today, that sorrow can be better than laughter, that mourning better than feasting, rebuke is better than praise, the hard way is better than the shortcut, and today is better than yesterday. And sometimes the bad thing is better. And God has a tendency to use bad things that are bad and awful to create good. And a perfect example of that is the cross. The cross was an instrument of torture and death developed by the Romans. It was a very gruesome thing. It was not a happy symbol for people to see a cross. And God has taken the cross, and by having Jesus die on the cross for our sins, he has now turned it in from an instrument of death to now being an instrument of full and eternal life. God took the death of his son, Jesus Christ, and created something good out of it, and calls that resurrection. And when we have faith in Jesus Christ, we can look forward to our death, because we know that we're going to inherit eternal life with Christ. Sometimes the bad thing is the better option, because it develops us in ways that nothing else can. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that your ways are much higher than our ways, and that we can't always perceive the wisdom of your ways. Give us, Lord, the faith that will allow us to trust in you, that will allow us to trust that sometimes bad is better, because you are God Almighty, and you have the power to bring good out of bad. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.